afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for April 13th, 2015. I'm Faith Miller. Doctors, union members, and students protested outside of student health centers on University of California campuses across SoCal today. They say they're protesting the UC administration's refusal to give them financial information they need to negotiate contracts. Chip McDaniels is a doctor of psychiatry at UCLA and says the system needs to prioritize student health. He says students at some schools wait 7 weeks to see a doctor.
We've been bargaining with the university for over a year. We're closing in on 15 months. We keep trying to prioritize student health, and all they do is shut us down.
One UCLA student joined in on the protest. He says it usually takes 1 to 2 weeks to be seen by a doctor.
It's usually understaffing, and because they can't necessarily take proper care of their patients, then they can't necessarily do their job properly, and that's why they're out here.
Representatives of the UC system have said the state is disappointed by the strike, but they are taking appropriate steps to make sure the health care provided to students is not interrupted. The Los Angeles Board of Public Works authorized the Sanitation Bureau to hire outside contractors for servicing the city's waste needs today. The board says the measure is just a precaution in case negotiations with the city's sanitation workers don't result in a contract. Members of one of the city unions voted last week to authorize a strike, while about 20,000 city workers have been without a new contract since last July. A plan to cut water deliveries by 15% in Southern California is one step closer to becoming a reality. A committee of the Metropolitan Water District, a major water supplier, approved a plan today to ration water in local districts. The full Water District Board will meet tomorrow to vote on the proposal. If approved, water deliveries would be cut starting July 1st. It would affect more than 24 cities and organizations providing water for 19 million people. Bob Muir, a spokesperson for Metropolitan Water District, says the cuts will be tough, but will ultimately help Southern California.
It would cut back or actually save about 300,000 acre-feet of water in a given year. So that's about the amount used by 600,000 families in Southern California.
The plan comes almost 2 weeks after Governor Jerry Brown called for a mandatory 25% water reduction. The city of Los Angeles will pay more than $8 million to settle a lawsuit brought by a man who was wrongfully convicted of murder, Victor Figueroa reports.
Back in 1994, Opie Anthony and his friend Reggie Cole were at a party when several miles away, three African-American men killed two Hispanic men outside of a brothel. Yet, in 1995, a jury convicted both men of murder. They spent the next 17 years in prison until they were finally exonerated in 2011. Anthony's attorney, David McLean, says the case was a clear example of police misconduct.
And unfortunately, the police, they took the easy way out. It was more important to clear a case than to find out the truth.
McLean says the $8.3 million settlement with the city of Los Angeles is the largest wrongful imprisonment settlement in California history. Anthony says his case should be an example for everyone wrongfully charged of a crime.
I stand here today. I have an opportunity to tell you about the wrongs in which they committed against me and Reggie Cole and how they made us suffer for a total of 33 years. They took that. No compensation in the United States or nowhere else on the face of the planet can give me my years back.
The city admitted no wrongdoing in settling the case. Reggie Cole's lawsuits are still pending. Victor Figueroa, Annenberg Radio News.
Rap music mogul Suge Knight was back in court this morning, along with one of the men he allegedly hit with his car in late January. Cleabone Sloan refused to identify Knight as the person who hit him. He said, quote, "I'm no snitch. I will not be used to send Suge Knight to prison." Sloan said he did not recall the specific details of the event and did not recognize Knight at the scene. Today, panelists gathered to talk about results from a poll conducted by USC and the LA Times about race relations. Allison Brett reports.
Californians feel comfortable with race relations in California. That's according to a USC Dornsife College and Los Angeles Times poll released this morning.
They clearly think that things in their own state are better than what's going on around the rest of the country. 65% of the voters in the state said that race relations are better in California than in other parts of the country.
Dan Schnur, one of the authors of the study, said that California is more diverse than any place on earth ever. But not everyone is equally happy. Californians are split over the issue of standardized testing. A majority of Latino voters support more focus on standardized tests in schools.
They want more testing, want more focus on basic fundamentals of education, science, technology, math, things that will give the next generation a leg up.
The study also found that California voters reject giving tenure to teachers from K-12 schools. Allison Brett, Annenberg Radio News.
The American Civil Liberties Union rallied at the California State Capitol today in support of proposed state laws intended to curb racial profiling. Reporter Megan Coyle has the story.
The ACLU of Northern California believes two police reform bills, AB 619 and AB 953, are an important step toward improving public safety and upholding civil liberties. More than 200 people gathered at the state capitol to show their support for the proposed measures. The bills expand the definition of racial profiling and require law enforcement agencies to collect and publish demographic data on all traffic and pedestrian stops and deaths related to police incidents. The legal and policy director of ACLU of Northern California, Christine Sun, spoke at today's rally.
Right now, what we often have are anecdotes, but without the hard data to show that racial profiling is happening in these communities, it's difficult for advocates and the media to hold police departments accountable.
Los Angeles Police Department spokesperson Jack Richter says the LAPD has been collecting and analyzing that kind of data since 2001. But they do not make it available to the public.
It would really be basic raw numbers anyway. It wouldn't really make any difference to even if somebody from the media or a private citizen had it. It really wouldn't mean anything to them because we analyze it for disposition.
The bills will go before the Public Safety Committee next week. This legislation is a response to a national debate over racial profiling and police brutality in Los Angeles, Ferguson, and other cities. Megan Coyle, Annenberg Radio News.
Marco Rubio announced his bid for president today. He joins the race with Rand Paul and Hillary Clinton, who announced her second presidential campaign yesterday via video. And as Martha Daniel reports, the 2016 presidential campaign could end up being more digital than physical.
This presidential race promises to open a new frontier in political campaigning. President Obama's campaigns underscored the importance of social media, and now the early candidates are making the digital platforms their launching point. Technology is changing the way voters will interact with candidates, according to Dora Kingsley-Vertinton, a professor at USC's Price School of Public Policy.
I think what's more important rather than getting them out to vote is more young people will have an opinion and share that with others. And it will help shape the discussion and the debate topics. Your generation will make a critical difference in what decisions are made.
Digital engagement might not lead to a better voter turnout, but Vertinton says it'll certainly help amplify a candidate's political messages. And, she says, brand new live stream technologies like Meerkat and Periscope could be the real game changers.
This election, you actually have an opportunity for anybody with a cell phone to video an election activity, to video the candidate, to video a support message of their own, and then broadcast that widely. The video feature is completely new this election cycle.
Another new trend for this election cycle? Donors can use Bitcoin, a digital currency, to make campaign contributions. Martha Daniel, Annenberg Radio News.
If you've ever wondered about the origins of curious words and phrases, here's Ben Krause with today's Root Source.
Has anyone ever rubbed you the wrong way? Really gotten under your skin? If so, that person just got your goat. The phrase, get your goat, originated in the early 20th century. At the time, goats were often placed next to racehorses to keep them calm before a race. If someone wanted to sabotage a horse's chances, they would steal that horse's goat, making the horse race badly. And over time, the phrase simply came to mean to really annoy someone. There's an old English twist to the phrase, too. Leaving a goat in a barn encourages cows to produce more milk. Got milk? Well, then you likely got goats, too. Ben Krause, Annenberg Radio News.
Have you ever wondered what it feels like to perform in front of 93,000 people? Ben Ebert knows. He achieved a lifelong dream to play in the USC Trojan Marching Band.
Have you ever wanted to do something so much, so badly, but thought it was so far out of reach? I think a lot of us have dreams and goals that we like to say we might accomplish someday, but know deep down inside, we won't really ever get to do whatever it was. This is exactly how I felt when I first saw the Cal Marching Band. I was a young kid, maybe 5 or 6. My family had season tickets to Cal football. We lived right next to Berkeley in Northern California. So every fall, while all my friends were playing in their Little League soccer games, I was going to watch Cal football on Saturdays. It was great. Experiencing tailgating, getting to toss the football with my dad and older brother, then going to watch a college football game. What could be better than that? But the thing I loved most about going to Berkeley every Saturday was not the football. Nope, it was watching the marching band. But most of all, the drum line. We would hear them marching to the stadium while we were tailgating. Everyone could. What were they marching to? The drum cadence. I had never heard anything like it. The sound of all these different percussion parts just blending together in perfect harmony. Or I guess in perfect time would be the correct term for drums. Either way, my ears and eyes were glued to it. It was by far the coolest thing I had ever seen in my life. Well, that is until I saw my first Cal-USC game at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. I was 10 years old. It was a warm Southern California evening, an incredible night for a football game. We had found our seats just directly across from the Olympic torch that sits on top of the peristyle arches in the Coliseum. Suddenly, the moment happened. The crowd went wild. I was trying to figure out what was going on, so I looked down to the field, and there he was, the Trojan, standing in the center of the field on the massive interlocking Block SC, dressed in shining gold armor, with a giant red plume striking down the center of his glistening gold helmet. He waved the silver sword he had in his right hand, tossed it into the air, then caught it with both hands, and stabbed it directly into the center of the Coliseum football field. The more than 200 USC band members decked in Trojan outfits stood on the sidelines waiting to be led onto the field by their Trojan drum major. It was a sight I would never forget. Now, you know the feeling of being in such amazement that you literally can't find words to describe how you feel? That's how I felt. What I had just witnessed was what is considered by many to be one of the greatest traditions in college football. And you know what? I wanted to be part of it. I wanted to be one of those band members wearing a Trojan helmet with a drum, marching onto the Coliseum field in front of thousands of cheering fans. Sure, I was a Cal Bears fan, but the sheer thrill I got from watching the USC Trojan marching band inspired me to stick with my desire to play drums and to continue pursuing music, with the dream that one day, maybe one day, I would get to participate in what I had just observed. Well, thanks to some hard work I put in at my community college, I was able to get into the University of Southern California. And just 1 week into my fall semester, here's where I found myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the Spirit of Troy, the University of Southern California, Trojan Marching Band. Band, take the field.
There I was. I had done it. It was literally a dream come true. I was wearing the Cardinal uniform, which made the 80-degree weather feel like 120. But I didn't care. I had my snare drum and was wearing my very own shining Trojan helmet. I closed my eyes, just listening to the 93,000 fans in the LA Coliseum. And then, as Tribute to Troy played on, it was my turn to step out onto the field, officially living out my childhood dream. And the one thing I kept telling myself inside my head, just don't mess this up. Don't forget what to do. Long story short, I didn't mess up.
Ben Ebert, Annenberg Radio News.
That's it for today. We had help from JT Arose, Grace DeWitt, and Amy Lopez. Our board operator is Lexi McAvinci. Martha Daniel is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Victor Figueroa. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Faith Miller.